Okay, everybody, Parshas Kisisa, also Parshas Parah this week, which according to some is Doraisa. We're not going to talk about Parshas Parah now. Right? When we get to Chukas, right, we'll talk about Parshas Parah. But Parshas Kisisa, chock full, very, very packed Parsha. We'll only get to a few nekudos. Just to recap very quickly, Bnei Yisrael are commanded to take the Machzitz HaShekel. The Bnei Yisrael build the Kiyor. Moshe makes this anointing oil for the Mishkan, for the Kohanim. The discussion about how to make the Ketores. Hashem appoints Bezalel and underneath him Oholiab to build the Mishkan, to be in charge of the actual building. There's a commandment of Shabbos thrown in there. And then we launch into the Egel Hazav story, right? Moshe gets the Luchos, Egel Hazav. Moshe davens, he destroys the Luchos, destroys the Egel, davens again, right? Hashem agrees. Right, Moshe asks to see, Kadosh Baruch Hu's midos, and tell me how you work. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, "Yigimel midos rachamim, 13 attributes of mercy." Moshe gets the second lichos. Right, this is a renewal. Right, Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously forgives Bnei Yisrael. They renew their vows, so to speak, with the bris that Kadosh Baruch Hu made with him at Har Sinai. This is kind of a rehashing of that. Moshe finally comes down. With a Karen Orpanov that he has, his face is shining, he has to put on a mask. Very interesting kind of few psukim there at the end of the parsha. We're not going to talk about it right now, but definitely kedai to look into. To start with the beginning, the Machzitz HaShekel. Why are Bnei Yisrael counted via the Machzitz HaShekel? So, aside from the Midrashim, right, the Tanchuma has a few explanations, right, according to the opinion that says it was an atonement, a kapara for the Egel Hazav. That's Rashi quotes that, I think, if I'm not mistaken. According to that opinion, the Tanchuma says, the Medrash Tanchuma, that since they only made the Egel after half a day, right, because Gemara says that Moshe told them he would come back after noon, right, basically when Moshe didn't show up, right, then they started the Egel preparation. So since it was a half a day, okay, it was a half a shekel, okay, right, cute, fine. Rashi explains that the reason the Bnei Yisrael were counted, right, with the Machzitz HaShekel is because to count them regularly would create an Ayin Hara, that would create a plague, right, as we see based on what happened in the times of David HaMelech. But Rashi doesn't explain why that is so, right, or how counting, right, brings about an Ayin Hara or a plague. Right, and even odder, the Sifrei Chachamim in there says that the Ayin Hara only comes when counting the entirety of Bnei Yisrael. That would go against, right, our common practice of, you know, counting, you know, 10 Jews, or Shia Samecha, or whatever it is. Posechas Yadecha, I don't know, not Posechas Yadecha, right? Some people say Hamoti, right? When you're counting 10 Jews for a minion, right, you do use Psukim, you don't use numbers. Okay, but either way, like, what's the deal? What is this inyan of counting? And why does that create an Ayin Hara? And why does that bring about a plague? So Shlomo Klagsbald, the Rav in Teret Nof, and Shul, where I daven in Har Nof, right, so I remember he explained a very, very powerful, slightly terrifying way, using what happened in Auschwitz as an example. Right, obviously Jews who came to Auschwitz, as everybody pretty much knows, right, what happened, first thing pretty much, was they got a number tattooed on their arm. And you have to think about what that does to a person, right? To give someone a number, right, is to remove them, is basically to remove their humanity, right? It removes their name. And not only that, it removes them from the group. It makes them alone, right? You're only that number now, right? You're number 300, 257, right? You're not shayach to number, 15,891, right? It's just, you're just whatever number I said before. You're just that number, right? You're not part of the whole, right? You're a single entity, right? That's what giving a person a number instead of a name, right? That's, in every movie ever where you have, like, inmate number, this, that, and the other thing, that's done on purpose, right? To take away the person's name, to take away a person's identity, and to take away a person's association with other groups, right? It makes a person into a loner. On the other hand, right, to count a sum of people with half shekels, right, does the opposite, right? It gathers everyone together, right? It's not single shekels, it's half shekels, that everybody kind of comes to create this greater whole. Right now, everyone is simply part of a greater collection of coins, right? Where each one of us is a half, right? We, by definition, have to join, no pun intended, have to join, that's actually not the same word, so I don't know why I said that, but we have to join with other people, right? To create a whole, to create an entire, even to create a single one, we have to join with somebody else. Right? And Chazal often, right, talk, and this is the whole idea of a tzibur and a yochid, that when you have a koch of a tzibur, the tzibur together, right, can weather many, many storms. A yochid by himself, right, he's on his own schusim, he's on his own, she's on her own, right, whatever merits and judgment in Shemayim, fine. But Chazal talk about in many, many, many places, a koch of a tzibur, that if you latch on to a group, right, so if you latch onto a group, so that creates much more schusim, and that's what we're trying to do right now. Again, according to the opinion that it was one of the things that atoned for the chet egel, so go, right, you wanted to be part of that group that was pardoned by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, we always want to opt into the power of a tzibur, right, the extra koach that it has. For example, the Gemara in Sota and Daf Lamed Beis, right, Mishnah says you can say Kriyat Shema Tefillah in any language, and the Gemara says, really, any language? Right, Rav Yehuda says that we don't daven in Aramaic because the angels don't understand it and they can't help your tefillos reach Shemaim, whatever that means, right? Ayin Shem. So the Gemara answers, yeah, that's only if you're davening by yourself. If you're davening by yourself, then you need help, as it were, however you understand that, to get your tefillos right, up to the Kisei HaKavod. But if you're davening in a tzibur, then you can daven in any language. Right, that's what Rashi explains over there, in that Gemara, that someone who is davening in a minyan doesn't need such help. The tefillos go straight up, go straight to Shemayim. Right, I remember my computer teacher in YU, he's from Yid, so he said, he once was giving us a mashal, and he said, it's like when you go to daven, right, when you go to buy a bag of onions, right, if you need one onion, you look at it, you check it out, right, make sure it's not too small, not too big, right, if not peeling, not rotten, but if you buy a bag of onions, you just grab the bag. So that's tefillah b'tzibur, right? Kosh Baruch Hu just grabs the bag, right? It just goes up to Shemayim. Yeah, there are many examples of this. I'm not going to beleaguer the point. There's a koach tzibur, a koach of being counted in the klal, and that's in the klal, and that's what we're trying to accomplish with the Machatzis HaShekel, to kind of join together, right? Ba'achtus, which we'll talk about also in a second. The achdus of coming together as a klal, that everybody should see themselves as a half, as a part of a whole, as a part of a greater whole, right? And then and be part of the tzibur of Am Yisrael, and be zocha that way. Chaim Shmulevitz points out in Sichus Musar that there's an iser of lo yamit, right? But also lo yarba, meaning that, what did the pasuk say? The pasuk said, he'ashir lo yarba, v'hadal lo yamit. Someone who is rich shouldn't give less, shouldn't give more than a machzeh shekel, and someone who is poor shouldn't give less. And that, meaning both are equally forbidden, right? That meaning you can't just decide to give more than everyone else, right? It had to be built by the klal equally together, right? The Machzeh Shekel, this one that they collected in this week's Parsha, went to the Adonim, to the little kind of like, whatever you call them, the holes or the spokes that they put in there that helped to build the walls of the Mishkan, right? That basically supported the Mishkan, because otherwise all the walls were single individual beams, right? But once you had these little spokes to put the poles through, kind of connect the whole thing, that had to be given by everyone equally, right? Once a person gives more than someone else, right, that separates them out from the group. Right, and that was the milah of the Nisim, if you remember, in Parshas Naso. Right, they gave the same korban, right, by the Chanukah Shem Miskan. We read the same parsha over and over and over. Right? We read on Chanukah, right, each korban of the Nasi. Why does the Torah repeat all of those korbanos? They're exactly the same. So that's exactly the point. That was the milah, because if one of them would have given more, that would have separated them out from the group. No one won up their friend. Right, they all gave the exact same thing, even though, right, they certainly had the opportunity to do so. There's no commandment that they should give, the exact same korban. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz quotes that Gemara in Krisus. Gemara in Krisus Davav. Amar Bichana Bar Bizna. Amar Rishimel Chazida. Kol Tainis She'ein Bab Mipisha Yisrael. Ain't no Tainis. If you have a fast that doesn't include some of the Rishonim, if some of the Rishonim are not in fasting, that's not considered a Tainis. Sha'arach Chel Ben Areach Reich Ara. Right, he quotes the Gemara there, talks about the Ketores, which we have in this week's Parsha. The Chel Ben Areach, one of the parts of the Ketores, had a bad smell. But the Torah lists it, right, in one of the spices of the Ketores, right? One of the spices of the Ketores smelled bad, right? Because you need everything. You need all aspects of Am Yisrael, right, to come together. And we need the Guda Achas, right? We need the same Gemara Menachos, right? Again, famous Gemara Menachos about the Dalad Minim. Right? Everybody knows you can't have three Minim. You can't take just a Lulav and Esrog and the Aravos. You need the Adasim as well. Or you need that. You can't leave out the Aravos. Right? The Aravos have no smell and have no taste, right? Again, that's Ayin Shem, right? All that Torah that you hear on Sukkos. Right? We need a Guda Achas. We need to have Achdus. We need to have everybody together. And that's an important lesson of the Machzeh HaShekel, that we all want to tap into that Koach HaTzibur. On the other hand, Right, points out Rav Melech Biderman, that we do see in this week's parsha the koach of the tefillah of a yachid. Right, we shouldn't think that the yachid's tefillah. Right, we compare. We said, the tefillah of a tzibur, Kadosh Baruch Hu just takes a yachid. He has to work harder. But right, don't underestimate the tefillah of a yachid, because what do you see this week's parsha? Right, Moshe Rabbeinu did so much with his tefillahs. Right, he saved Am Yisrael from destruction. Right, the Gemara Brachos Daf Lama Beis. Right, Rabbi Avohu says that the Pasuk hadn't said it, we couldn't have said it. Pasuk says, Ve'ata hanichali, right, Hashem says to Moshe, hanichali, leave me alone. Right, and the Gemara there says that Moshe Kiviyachol grabbed the Kosh Baruch Hu like a friend grabs, like a person grabs his friend by his jacket and says, I'm not leaving you alone until you forgive Am Yisrael. Right, unbelievable. Moshe had that koach atzvila. Now, we're all not Moshe Rabbeinu. That is true. But there are many examples in the Gemara and Chazal about the koach atzvila of even a single individual. And Choni HaMagil and the travelers, without getting into examples, the koach atzvila of a single individual, right, is tremendously powerful. And that's what Melech points out. Look how far the koach atzvila of an individual go. As if the person themselves can grab Kosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol, right, and Kavachomer the Koach of a Tzvila of a Tzibur. Certainly, we shouldn't underestimate our own powers and our own ability to doubt. Now, very odd phraseology by the Machos Yisshagol. Very strange phrase. Pasuk says, "Kol haover al hapakudim, Machos Yisshagol, Meshagol haKodesh, Esrim Gerah Shagol, Machos Yisshagol, Truma Lashem." Very, very odd phraseology. Kol ha'over al hapakudim. Anybody's going over the numbers. How do you translate that? Kol, let me just look that up. How do you give a good translation of that? Kol ha'over pasuk gedalet. Yeah, everyone who passes through the census. Okay. I mean, anybody who's basically giving here, machzis shekel. Anybody who wants to be counted, machzis shekel b'shekel kodesh. They have to give Machzis HaShekel with holy shkolim, Esrim Gera HaShekel, 20 Gera, right? That's Esrim Gera HaShekel. That's how much it's worth. I guess Gera was a smaller coin. Machzis HaShekel, right? It's half a shekel. Truma LaShem. It's a gift to Hashem. What? How many times are we going to say that? Are you going to give? You're not going to give? It's half. It's half a shekel. It's worth this. It's half a shekel again. It's Kadosh LaShem. Machzis HaShekel. Truma LaShem. What's going on over here? So Rav Melech quotes the Orach Lechaim, who I'm not sure who that is, but he explains based on the Gemara and Kiddushin on Daf Mem Amid Beis. Gemara there says La Olam Yira Adam, a pretty well known Gemara quoted often during the Yom Noraim. La Olam Yira Adam Atzmo Ki Ilu Chetzio Chayev VeChetzio Zakai. Right, the Rambam quotes this that a person should always view themselves as if they are half and half. Right, as if they're a benoni, as if right now they're schusim and they're chiyuvim, their scale is literally 50-50, right, smack equal in the middle, so that one mitzvah tilts them towards schus, and one avera, right, tilts them in the opposite direction, chas v'shalom. So it explains the Aruch L'chaim, right, this is for anybody. Right, this Gemara is for everyone. Tzaddik, Rasha, anyone. Even though that's very strange. Right, again, tzaddik is much more than 50-50. But still, they should see themselves as 50-50, even though technically that brings them down. Because what will happen? That will keep them from doing averos. And the flip side, a Rasha, even though he's much less than 50-50, maybe he's even, 1-99 in terms of his mitzvos versus averos. But still, that he should view himself as a 50-50, even though that brings them higher than they really are. Because again, as it says in Pirkei Avos, right, Perek Beis, right, Al Tehi Rasha Bifnei Asmecha, don't view yourself as a Rasha. Because that, if you view yourself as Russia, that's what happened to Acher. Acher thought that he was a Russia, that he had no chance to do tshuva, and get, so he just chucked it. Right? If a person views themselves as a Russia, they'll just chuck it. So Russians should also see themselves as 50-50, right? And do mitzvos whenever presented, and run away from averos. So even if you're down, says Ramelech, right? Even if you've fallen spiritually, right? Don't look at that. You got to view yourself as a benoni. You got to view yourself as 50-50, and based on that, that's how he wants to reinterpret the psukim. Like we said before, the Hasidim very often like to take the psukim as written and take the literal translation, even though the psukim obviously pashup shot means something else. But to use those words and kind of turn them into a beautiful message. So he says, "Kol ha'over al pekudim." Right, the word "over" means to violate. It means to violate Usually we use it. If someone's over on an asay, he's over on a los asay, right? It means he's violated one of the halachos, one of the Torah, one of the mitzvos. So kol over ala pekudim, anybody who's over, right, on the halachos of the Torah, on the pekudim, machaziz shekel b'shekel kodesh, machaziz shekel. He should shikul, right? He should his valuation, right? Shekel, the shekel, right? Same word, right? Same shoresh, really, not the same word. But machaziz shekel, he should see himself, his shikul, his evaluation of himself, should be machaziz, should be 50-50. Right, b'shekel hakodesh, when they take a holy evaluation, when they're trying to view themselves in terms of spirituality, in terms of ruchnius, they should see themselves as machatzis, they should see themselves, right, as 50-50. And Rav Melech quotes Avodas Yisrael, that's what it means when it says, we quoted before, ha'ashir lo yerbeh v'adal lo yamit, someone who's rich shouldn't do more, right, and someone who's less shouldn't do less. Machzis shekel, right? They shouldn't do anything less than machzis shekel. That's exactly our point. The ashir, the rich guy in mitzvos, the tzaddik, shouldn't be marbe themselves and think that they're above 50-50. And the dal, the poor person, the poor person in mitzvos, the rasha, shouldn't be yamit, shouldn't make themselves less than 50-50. Right? Everyone should view themselves as a benoni, right, and use that to fuel, right, their accomplishments. It says, I'd say it in the name of the Chiddush Harim, I think, that the whole problem, right, the big avera, it's the Chozer Milublin, I'm sorry. The Chozer Milublin says the big avera of Chet HaEgel was not that they did it, but that they didn't pick themselves up afterwards. Right? The pasuk says vayis ablu, that they mourned, right? But they mourned for the loss of their crowns, right? The Malachim came down and took the crowns from Bnei Yisrael. They had two crowns, one from Nasa, one from Nishma, right? As a punishment for Chet HaEgel. The pasuk says it's vayis ablu. It says the Chozer Milublin, that was the sin. That was the great sin of the Chet HaEgel. That they mourned and they didn't pick themselves up right away and didn't, you know, do tshuva and move on. Right, because a person needs to see themselves and be as ready to move on. Yes, okay, we fail once, we fell twice. Right, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, we talked about that last week. Right, a tzadik falls, and he gets back up. But the not getting back up, that was the chait. Right, that was the chait. And this is, again, this inyan is so important in both ways. Right, for someone who's doing well, right, not to let the tzlacha get to your head. Right, we've talked about in the past that the Yitzhahara is very strong. Whenever a person has tremendous hatzlacha, whenever right after Yom Kippur, right after you stay up all night on Shavuos, right, the Yetzer Hara is very strong, just to, you know, rest on your laurels. So don't let that get to your head. Don't think you're already there. Right? View yourself as 50-50. Right? Vayishav Yaakov, right? Rashi says, Yaakov bikesh l'shevet b'shalva. Yaakov wanted to chill out a little bit, maybe. Chas shalom, if I should say it like that. But Yaakov wanted to maybe, you know, settle down a little bit. That's not our tafkid in this world. Our tafkid in this world is keep on growing from heights to heights. But more importantly, I would argue, for those who are down, never view yourself as someone who is down. Don't define yourself as a Rasha. You're always a Beinoni, no matter, you're always 50-50, no matter what you have done in your life. Even if kol hover al hapkudim, even if you're violating, right, halachos, you're not keeping whatever it is, still, machziz shekel b'shekel hakodesh, right, view yourself as 50-50 in this holy shikul, in this holy evaluation, and thereby you can lift yourself up and use that to lift yourself up from the depths. Okay. Now, we've quoted before, we have to talk about the Chet HaEgel a little bit, obviously. I don't want to beleaguer the point we've quoted before, right? Definitely talked about it in seminary, and we talked about it, I think, already in this podcast. If you check, I think probably Parshas Ki Tse, although I don't remember offhand, that very often, we'll just mention it quickly, but very often, right, things that are tremendous hatzlachas and tremendous detriments and tremendous failings look very similar. For example, the Eagle Azov, right, was a piece of gold, right, a gold fashioned in the shape of something, and Bnei Yisrael used it, according to many Midrashim, not to worship it, but to use it as a conduit to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Definitely Midrashim that talk about that, and other, you know, certain opinions, right, Machlokas, okay, what was it, actual Avodah Zarah, just a replacement for Moshe, okay, Bnei Yisrael used this golden image, shall we say, to channel Avodah Hashem. There's something very similar to that, that we have many psukim and many divrei Torah about, and that was the Aron. The Aron also was a golden image that we used for, right, avoda for on the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, right, and to channel, right, we all daven towards the Kodesh Kadashim, right, where the Aron was, right, that was also, you know, a use of gold to create some sort of image that we put in the holiest place. And what was the difference between those two? It's exactly the same. At first glance, obviously, Chas Shalom should say exactly the same. And furthermore, the psukim here in this week's parsha are very similar to the psukim later by the Chanukah Samishkan, right? By Maimon Har Sinai and the Chanukah Samishkan as well. And Maimon Har, what does it say by the Chet? We'll start with the Chet Egel. It says by Chet Egel, right? By Shlachas Narei Bnei Yisrael by Alu Olos. No, that's by, I'm sorry, that's by Maimon Har Sinai. The pasuk says, by Chet Egel, by Yishkimu Macharas, they got up early, by Alu Olos, they brought Ola, right, Korbanos, by Yigishu Shlomen, they brought right, other types of Korbanos, by Yesheva Am, Lechol V'Shazato, and the nation sat to eat and drink. Now, yes, it definitely says after that, by Yikumu L'Tzachek, and they came up and got up to immorality, and obviously that's a big difference. But if you take that part of the pasuk that we quoted already, right, it says also by Maimon Har Sinai, by Shlach Snarei Bnei Israel, by Alu Olos, they brought korbanos, by Zvachu Zvachim Shlamim, Lashem Parim, they brought Shlamim, they brought other korbanos, by Yochlu Vayishtu, they ate and drank. It says by the Chanukah Hamishkan also, that there was the korbanos, and there was eating and drinking. You have a golden image here by the calf. There's golden the imagery in the Mishkan. What is the difference? Right, to say it in a very weird way, what is the difference between the Mishkan and Maimon Har Sinai on the one hand, and the Chet Egel on the other hand? And so, just very quickly and very basically, the difference is that Hashem commanded one, and not the other. Hashem told us, "This is how I want you to worship," and then the Egel Azav obviously was taking it into our own hands. Right, and very often when we take our religion, quote unquote, into our own hands, and we decide that we want to do this, that, and the other thing, that's not our religion. That's not Judaism. That's not Yiddishkeit. Right? We have to operate within a halacha, within a halachic framework. Right? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives that to us, and Chazal explain right, that this is what, you know, this is the possibilities, these are the options. And this is how we have to operate, right? To make our own, to say, like, you know, with the phrase all the time, oh, I don't hold of that. Or they don't hold of that, or we don't do that. Like, what? Okay, do you have a basis in halacha to not do such things? Like, sometimes it's justified, you know, some minhagim are just that, exactly that, minhagim that kind of cropped up. But most of the time when someone says they don't hold to something, it means that they just don't care to keep it. Well, that's not how it works. That's not Yiddishkeit. Kosh Baruch Hu wants us to keep certain halachos. He gave us a Torah, a way of life, and that's Yadus, right? It's not something that you can just kind of like decide how you want. Oh, there's gold. Oh, there's an image. Okay, I don't really want to make kruvim and a box and an aron. I'm going to make a calf. Well, yeah. That's not how it works. That was the one of the greatest, or great. I use that in a terrible term. That was one of the worst sins of all time, right? You can't just decide to do that on your own. We have to use the Torah and what Kosh Baruch Hu wants as our barometer for what is good and evil, as a barometer for what we are supposed to be doing in life. Again, just take a random example, right? I think they're remaking a Robin Hood. There's another Robin Hood movie coming out. So that's usually, you know, a hero. What is Robin Hood? Robin Hood stole from the rich and gave to the poor. But who says that's mutter? Who says that's allowed? Maybe he has no right to steal from the rich. Okay, fine. In the movie, I think, back in the day, I remember the rich were acting badly against the poor and they were abusing them, and really it was the poor's money. Okay, I don't know. But in general, can you imagine? Like, if you can't just do that. That's not how it works. What does the halacha say? Sometimes something belongs to someone else. You can go and there's something called tefisa. You can go and take it if it belongs to someone else. And sometimes not, right? If you're going to take money from someone, you need to prove that it's theirs. Long story, whatever. Without the, you know, you can obviously poke holes in that analogy, but we have to use the Torah and halacha as the guiding force to figure out, right, what we should do and how we should live our lives. And if we use our own, right, intellect, so that can take us to crazy places, right? Like it took Bnei Yisrael to the Egel. All right, just very quick. Let's finish up here with the overarching question, right? When you read this story, the Chet Egel, is how in the world did Bnei Yisrael do the Egel? Right? What do you do? They just saw Akash Baruch Hu like 40 days ago. Right? Revelation. Like, hello? Everybody asks, right? What? How in the world did this happen? Okay, without the Midrashim, right, that say that we'll talk about it in a minute, but the Erev Rav came to Aaron, right, they came to Chur, the Midrash, whether they killed the Shivim Zakenim or not, right, they approached Aaron and Chur and the Shivim Zakenim, and they killed Chur, right, and obviously Aaron tried to delay them and stall tactics, etc., and then they kind of convinced the rest of Bnei Yisrael to do it. Okay, fine. But how did Bnei Yisrael end up with the Ego? And so there are a couple approaches. First of all, just to mention Just to mention the Rambam writes, I forget exactly where it is, I think it's in Hilchos Tshuva, but I could be wrong, that the question is not how did Bnei Yisrael do the Egel, but how did Bnei Yisrael not do the Egel? Because Bnei Yisrael had been worshipping Avodah Zarah for 150 years, or plus, or whatever it is, right, in Mitzrayim, right? Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, right? That was the Malachim's critique on Kriyas Yamsuf. Hashem, why are you saving the Jews over the Mitzrayim? Both of them are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So the Jews were worshipping Avodah Zarah for a very, very long time. Says the Rambam, person doesn't change that fast. How many days after, you know, leaving Mitzrayim is it? It's 49 days. It was 49 days from Mitzrayim to Har Sinai. Another 40 days later, we're talking a couple of months. So you don't wipe out 150 years of preconceived notions and trained actions and thoughts and kind of philosophy in a couple of months. That's not, a person changes gradually, right? And that shmuz is used very often, right, in Shana Aleph and Shana Bet to talk about how a person changes, right? You shouldn't just dive into things. Don't, you know, it's important to internalize them and take your time. It doesn't happen right away. Okay. So, of course, Rambam says that the question is misplaced. But still, everybody asks it. So let's talk about a couple of possibilities. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz and Sichus Musar, right, brings a couple of possibilities. First of all, he asks, right, Avodah Zarah, right, is not like other Averos. Right, the Pasuk says that, right, Hashem told Moshe that Soru Maher Min Aderech Asher Tzivisim, that Bnei Yisrael have strayed quickly from the path which I commanded them. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says in Shabbos, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Nafkuhe, right, the Yetzirah, right, doesn't get a person to do Avodah Zarah right away. Right? Other sins, the Yetzirah can, you know, kind of trap you and get you to do pretty quickly. But Avodah Zarah, right, the Gemara says, first the Yetzirah tells them to do this, then the Yetzirah tells them to do that, and before long, right, he tells you to go and worship Avodah Zarah, meaning it's usually a process. Yet here, by Har Sinai, it was Saru Maher, right? They strayed quickly. How does that work and why is that? So Rav Chaim has two approaches. First of all, the first one is based on the Gemara Shabbos and Daf Peitas, that the, again, pretty well known, that the Satan came and told the Jews that Moshe was dead, right? And they didn't believe him, right? And then the Satan showed them his coffin, right? Made things go dark and confusing and cloudy and whatever. Bnei Yisrael got freaked out. They got confused, right? They saw Moshe's coffin in the middle, right? They thought he was kind of chilling. He was stuck between Shemayim and Aretz. Right, Bnei Yisrael, right? Kizem Moshe Ha'ish Asher Ha'elanu Me'er Zisrayim Lo Yodanu Me'hayalo. We don't know what happened to Moshe. Says Rav Chaim, that was the Yisod. The Bnei Yisrael were thrown into bedlam, right? Into Be'ala and Choshech, into Erbuvia, as he says, right? Into chaos. Whenever there's chaos, whenever there's things aren't orderly and calm and relaxed, so then the Yitzhara can do whatever he wants. If a person is calm and composed, the Yitzhara is not going to be like, oh, by the way, you know, Buddha, you should bow down to Buddha. That's a great idea. No one is going to go do that. But if a person is completely beside themselves, when it has no aitzes to get out of whatever situation they're in, but then they convince themselves to do crazy things, right, that a rational person would never do. Right, that's the power of the Yitzhara during times of unrest. Right, you can take the Dor Dea, right, the Dor of Midbar, one of the greatest generations of all time, right, and throw them from the highest levels down to the deepest pits. Right, Rav Chaim explains that that's what happened to Cain, for example. Right, one minute he was offering korbanos to Kosh Baruch Hu, right, as the Ramban writes, right, speaking to Hashem like a navi, right, and a moment later, vayichar l'kain ma'od vayiflu panav, right, he got so upset that Hashem didn't accept his korban, that he fell on his face and he snapped and he killed his brother. Right, Targum Yonasan there says that Cain was a kofar. Right, he said to have a leis din v'leis dayan. There's no judge. There's no judgment. Right, there's no judge with a capital J. Right, there's no judge. There's no judgment. There's no olam haba. There's no schar v'onesh. Right, so what happened? So Pasuk says, as Rav Chaim explains, vayichar ma'od vayiplu panav. He lost his mind. Right, he got very, very angry. Fell on his face. He just lost it. So that's what got Bnei Yisrael to this point. I mean, we have to keep ourselves calm, right, and focused, and not give in to the Yetzirah when things get slightly, right, out of our control. Right, we have to work on our emunah and bitachon and focus that everything is good. Right, called them an David Rachman alatav Avid. Everything that Hashem does is good, and exert our self control to maintain our peace of mind, right, and our ability to think, even when we're not in difficult times. Right, that's the time to work on our emunah and bitachon is not when things are tough, right? It's when things are good. Because then it's easier, right? When things are tough and you're stressed, you can't think straight, right? But if we've trained ourselves to realize and have emunah b'tachon, then everything will be okay. So then, right? That's when we can avoid kind of snapping out of control, right? And going down a dark path that we never ever would have considered otherwise. Another approach Rav Chaim takes is based on Rashi and the Parsha, right? That we mentioned that the Erev Rav was actually the one, right, who made the eagle, right, and caused Bnei Yisrael to stray after that. Right, that's actually a very powerful shmooze and very terrifying shmooze because, right, according to that, right, that Mahalik, Bnei Yisrael didn't really worship the eagle too much, right, and the only chait was that they allowed it to happen in their midst. Okay, that's a different shmooze, but it's not not something that's necessarily so practical for nowadays because Bnei Yisrael had control over the entire environment, and nowadays, right, obviously this can't just go and protest, you know, different types of, I guess you can with the protests going now in Israel, but you know what I mean. I mean, it's not comparable to modern day, but long story short, right, the Erev Rav, according to this approach, made the eagle, and Medrash also talks about like this, caused Bnei Yisrael to stray after that. So how did that happen? Right? Aside from how did Bnei Yisrael actually listen to the Erev Rav, which we mentioned the Rambam, right? It was very familiar to them. Right? It was hard for them to switch so quickly. But how did the Erev Rav, right, create the eagle? Right? How could the Erev Rav create the eagle? And didn't they see what happened to Bnei? They've been here for the past couple of years, right? The Erev Rav, what were they? The group of Mitzrim, right? They wanted to convert. They saw all this amazing stuff in Mitzrayim. They're like, I'm in. Sign me up. Right, Hashem, the Medrash says that Hashem wasn't so happy with that, and Moshe convinced them to take them. Okay, so the Erev Rav have been through this entire story, right? They went through Kriyas Yamsuf, and they saw the Makos, right? They saw they saw the stuff that, right, the Medrash, as the Medrash says, right, the Shifcha on Yamsuf saw what great Nevi'im never saw, right? For sure they saw all this stuff. Right, they're included in the, right, the pasuk says Vayiru Ha'am Hashem Vayaminu B'Hashem of Moshe Avdo, that they feared Hashem, they believed in Hashem, they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. How could they have fallen so fast, right, to be the driving force behind the eagle? So Rav Chaim explains beautifully, right, that Medrash says, right, the Medrash that we quoted that we said a second ago, that the Shifcha saw more things on Kriyas Yamsuf, saw more revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than great Nevi'im later in generations. Rav Chaim says she was still a Shifcha. Right? Nothing happened to this Shifcha. Right? Because just through, it says Rav Chaim, fascinating Yisod, which is so important for us. Right? Just through revelation alone, that doesn't change a person. Right? That person is still the same. What changes a person? Yigia, effort. Right? Through work and working on themselves. Right? Yagati Umatsati Tamin, right? Gemara Megillah, right? A person tells you that he worked hard and he was successful, that's something you can believe. Right? So the Shifcha, and therefore by association, the Erev Rav, they saw these great miracles, they remained Erev Rav. They remained the Shifcha. Right? You don't attain greatness by just being given it. As if you were like, you know, Zochet to something from the Hefker, or a pile, or whatever. Nevi'im, what did Nevi'im do? Rambam already explains. Right? What does a person need to do to get to a level of Nevuah? Right? You have to work on yourself for years to attain a high level. And only then you're Zogot and Nevuah. Yeah, so in Echnami, that maybe the Shifcha saw it on Har Sinai, but she stayed a Shifcha. The Nevi'im, obviously, on a much greater level, they worked to get themselves to a place where they were Zocha to Nevuah. So even though the Erev Rav saw Zekeli Venveo at Kriyas Yamsuf, they remained Erev Rav. Right? Because revelation doesn't do anything, right, to change a person inside, right? Again, we people say all the time, I get all the time in seminary and yeshiva, they say, well, if God would just, you know, do a miracle for me, then I believe. And the answer is simply, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Either you would write it off as some sort of natural thing, and even if you couldn't, so that doesn't change a person, right? Because a person forgets, or a person is less impressed, right? We have inspiration is fleeting, right? Even if you saw something crazy, right? A year later, 5 years later, whatever it is, right? It doesn't stay with a person. Years of work and effort, that changes a person. But maybe the greatest proof of this, says Rav Chaim, is Bilam. Right? Bilam had Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? I'll say that Bilam was the Moshe Rabbeinu of the Goyim. Yet, he remained a tremendous Rasha. Right? God literally spoke to him all the time. But he was obviously a tremendous Rasha. Just because he was gifted Nevuah, that didn't change him. Right? Our job is to work. Our job is to put an effort into changing ourselves, to try and go against our nature, to uproot the evil within, and to go from Madrega to Madrega. So Mitzvah Shem, we should all be Zocha, right? Not to view ourselves as always 50-50, right? Regardless of whether we're Rasha or a Tzaddik. And in that way, right, to kind of keep ourselves and push ourselves to keep growing and doing extra mitzvahs to ensure that we'll be Zocha. And go Michael El Chayil. Everybody have a tremendous Shabbos.